In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to do a little something different today. This is everybody, you know, there's so many people coming in that this is going to be a different way of approaching Luisa. We have been focusing on themes for about 40 years. And what we want to do is some people are just so astonished of how amazing our God is that to bring up this understanding, what we're going to do is we're going to blend all the talks that we have been giving and focusing on the main purpose for this great gift of the divine will. This is one of the things that's so astonishing. This isn't about a saint. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's really a new and divine way of holiness that God is bringing to the earth. And why would God be doing this? Because of everything that's happening. It's part of God's plan to bring about creation, then to bring about the redemption, and now sanctification. So we're going to begin today with volume 21, 4, 8, 1927, how the figures and the symbols of the Old Testament really symbolize the children of the divine will, how Adam, from the highest point that God created, fell to the lowest point on earth. And Luisa says, I was following the acts that the divine will had done in all of creation, and I was also searching for the acts it had done in the first Adam, first father Adam, as well as those that it had done with all the saints of the Old Testament, especially those in which the supreme will of God had made its power, its strength, its vivifying virtue stand out in that individual, like the strength of Solomon, Samson, the wisdom of Solomon. You know, all those gifts Jesus teaches Luisa are part of who we are. That totality of the strength of Samson is going to be seen in the children of man, children of the divine will. So she says, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, the greatest figures of the Old Testament, while being the images that veiled the future Messiah, also enclosed the gifts, the images, and the symbolism of all the gifts that the children of the supreme fiat would possess. So when we look at how great, how magnificent the saints were in the Old Testament, Jesus is saying, this is a reflection of a bit of who you are. Everything that the saints possessed, Jesus says, shows basically the strength of the Messiah. So everything that is there is also a reflection of what God is calling us to possess. And that's the thing that's so amazing. It's a new beginning for humanity, a new and divine way of holiness. So Jesus says, when Adam was created, Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of my kingdom. So what did Adam have? Adam was in God's image and likeness. When God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And that's what our God is asking of us. Are you ready to begin to live this new and abundant life? It's really not new. It's the gift of gifts. It's what God gave to Adam from the beginning. So he says, Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of my kingdom. Adam was the symbol of the privileges and the heroism of the children of my most holy divine will. Calling Abraham to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, making Abraham the owner of that land, a land so fecund as to be, they would be enviable and aspired to by all others. So the land that was so fecund was so beautiful that other nations, symbolized by the what I would do with the children of my most holy divine will. So as Adam walked, every place he walked, God said, this is your land. This belongs to you. And this is what's going to now happen in the new era. There's no limit to what God is going to do. I mean, you hear this whole thing of there's too many people on earth. There's not too many people on earth. What God has planned is man to live in this universe. He says, I created the universe for mankind. I created the human will for God. So as we die to our ego and our will, as we choose our, we use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live this miserable life? When that's what we find when we go to confession. Or do I want to live that new life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary? So Jesus says, everything that I did in the Old Testament was a symbol of what I would do for the children of my most holy divine will. So everything is a symbol in the Old Testament. So he says, Jacob is another symbol. In fact, the 12 tribes of Israel would descend from Jacob. And from their midst, the future Redeemer was to be born, who was to bind back again the kingdom of the divine fiat to my children, Jesus says. Joseph was a symbol of dominion that the children of my most holy divine will would have, just as it did not let the many peoples, also his ungrateful brothers, perish of starvation. He didn't let that happen. So will the children of the divine fiat have dominion and be the ones who shall not let the people perish. And these will be the ones who shall ask for the first bread of my divine will for mankind. This is what's coming. A new and divine way of holiness is coming. And what Jesus is saying is it's going to be my children who are going to accomplish this. What Jesus accomplished on Calvary was redemption. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve on Calvary, brought about redemption. And now Jesus says, now I want sanctification. So he says, they are going to ask for the bread of my most holy divine will for all of mankind. Moses was the image of the power. Samson was the symbol of the strength of the children of my divine will. David was symbolized the reigning of them on earth as true royalty, as Jesus says he's going to bring about again. All the prophets symbolize the grace, the communications, the intimacies with God, more than what they did, the children of my divine fiat would possess. So more than what the men and the women of the Old Testament produced, God says, this is just a shadow of what's coming for all of humanity. So he says, I want you to see all these were just symbols, images of the children of the divine will. And what happens when the lives of these symbols shall come out. See these, again, the strength of Samson. Okay. You know, people spend 6 days a week working out 7 hours a day to look like Samson. Jesus says there's not going to be a workout for that. You're going to possess it. There's not going to be a need to focus on, you know, each muscle in your body. You will possess it. The same thing with the wisdom of Solomon. You know, you go to school for years trying to get degrees and you get a glimpse. A specialty is here's the gift and people become specialists. Here's the specialty, just a sliver of what this possesses. We're going to have the totality of it. So he says, all of this came Our Lady, the celestial mother of God, the sovereign empress, the immaculate, the spotless. Jesus says, my most holy mother, that she is everything. Jesus says, what I breathed into the blessed mother, she never left the divine will. And this is why she became Theotokos, mother of God. She is the spotless one, the mother of God. She was not a symbol. She was not an image. But Our Lady was the reality. Our Lady was the true life. Our Lady is the first privileged daughter of my divine will. And again, today we celebrate 106 years ago, Fatima, the changing point of mankind. When the evil one saw the miracle of the sun, the evil one recognized this woman who's going to crush my head is close, and I've got to stop this. So what have we seen in the last century? It's Jesus says it was a century of pride. It was a century of war, a century of murder. And Jesus says, basically, it was like a warning shot for the devil. His time is coming to an end. So what did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation? She said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. A new era has begun for all of humanity. A new era has begun for all of humanity. Jesus says, Our Lady is the true life, the first privileged daughter of the divine will of God. Our Lady is the queen of heaven. And I look at the human generations, the children of the most holy divine will through Our Lady. She was the first incomparable creature who possessed intact the life of the supreme will of God. And therefore, Our Lady deserves to be conceived, to be able to conceive the eternal word. Our Lady is the one who this eternal word matured within her maternal heart, the generation of the children of the eternal fiat. So we are one with Jesus, and Jesus shows us that as Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, we were conceived in the womb of Mary. Why? We belong to Jesus. We are one with Jesus. When Our Lady came, Jesus says, it prepared the world for my very life, which the kingdom was established that these fortunate children were to possess. You know, there's all this doom and gloom out there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And yet we should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were talking about the, what are we supposed to gather? What are we supposed to, where are the refuges that we're going? I don't see any of that in the Book of Heaven. Jesus brought the Book of Heaven to earth by dictating to Louisa what was needed to be known in this time. And there's no need for refuges. Now, some people say, well, the Lord told them that there will be refuges. I do believe that there will be, but it's not for the children of the divine will. Jesus says four things. There will be a great chastisement, will destroy the majority of humanity. He says, the second thing is my mother is marking all my children and no harm will come to my children, Jesus says. Number three, the children marked by my mother, Jesus says, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And number four, Jesus says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children, the holy divine will. This is something that is I go by. I mean, visions, apparitions, locutions are good, but that's for the saints. The divine will is for the children of the divine will, this new and divine way of holiness, to prepare us how to live this life. If people want to run to caves and, you know, and stay there until it's over, that's one way of doing it. Jesus says to Louisa, I'm preparing my children to live in the kingdom. And he says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you are anticipating heaven. So Jesus says this, from all this, you can comprehend how the primary purpose of everything that God did from the beginning of the creation of the world and that he does and shall do as to form the kingdom of his divine will in the midst of creatures is here. All these things are our divine aims, Jesus says. This is our divine will. God is in charge. That's why he said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to the church before I return is divine mercy. It says, all of these are our aims. This is our will. And to these children shall all our goods, all our prerogatives, our likenesses be given. So everything that you read in the Old Testament, everything that you read in the New Testament about the saints is a shadow of what God is going to give to all of us together. Everything that they possessed, the totality of what they possessed is slivered, if you want to say, showing us each and every one how they are unique in all the world is going to be our blessing. And so Jesus says, and if I call you to follow all the acts that my divine will has done, both in creation and of the in the universal, in the whole universe, in the generation of the creatures, not excluding those that I did in my celestial mother or those that I did in my very life, is to centralize all of its acts in you, Louisa. You are the firstborn. You are the newborn. Everything that humanity possessed in part, you possessed it as a total. All of it is centralized in you, Louisa, to give them to you, Louisa, so that, listen to this, it's not just for Louisa, so that through you, Louisa, release from you, Louisa, altogether the goods that the divine will can possess in order to form this kingdom of the eternal fiat with decorum and honor and glory for all my children. That's why he says, Louisa, I'm going to make each of my children in the divine will my divine masterpiece. He says, therefore, be attentive in following my divine will. Be attentive, read every day, study every day. Today, this month, if you're reading the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, if you're reading these 30 days of preparation to make this consecration to the Blessed Mother, God's getting you ready. God's getting you ready. And each day, Our Lady is teaching you a little more from her mother's heart. Jesus teaches Louisa throughout the Book of Heaven. And in this, he blends in. He says, basically, Mother Mary, tell Louisa what I want my children to be like. And then Our Lady steps in with decorum, with honor, with glory. And so the Lord is asking us to be attentive. How is it that by withdrawing from my divine will, from such a height, Adam fell so low? How did this happen? He says, Louisa, my daughter, in the natural order, the one who falls from a very high point either perishes completely or remains so wrecked and so deformed that it is impossible for him to recover his original state of health, of a state of beauty. I remember working in the hospital. This one man came in, and during World War I, he fell. And when he fell, he landed on his right arm. I think it was his right arm. And his whole arm was shattered. And there was no way of putting everything back together. And his arm healed into a ball right next to his shoulder. That's what happened, if you want to say, with Adam. Adam was deformed when he hit the ground, Jesus said. He was not the same anymore. His intellect was messed up. His reasoning wasn't accurate anymore. He couldn't see from the perspective of God. So Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. Why? To give back to humanity the understanding that God wants us to have through understanding the way Jesus understands. So our intellect, one of the three primary gifts, is recreated. God is helping us to begin to think from a divine perspective. And then our memory is not of us. It's the memory of the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, how to begin to live this abundant life that they breathe into Louisa. And then finally, our human will. God says, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live like this? Or, I mean, we have been redeemed. The devil is still in charge. He's still prince of this earth. That's why we go to confession each week. If we don't understand that, something is, we're not thinking right yet. You know, we're being bombarded with his lies. And on television, radio, newspaper, magazines, movies, internet, we're being bombarded. We have fallen so low, and God wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall. So he says, Jesus, Louisa, my daughter, in the natural order, the soul, the person who falls from a very high point, either perishes completely or remains wrecked and deformed. That is, it is impossible for him to recover to his original state. I saw a man, again, working in the hospital, saw a man working on a logging truck, and he was pulling the chains on the logging truck, and it snapped. And these 14-foot long, maybe longer, 20-foot long, 3-foot wide beams of trees just fell on him and hit him. And he was under, I mean, God was there with him. He was under the weight of all these logs. And his friends came and looked at him, and they said, he's gone. And he's there not being able to talk, you know, screaming, "I'm alive, you know, help me." And they couldn't hear him. And then, you know, as they call the company together and everybody's coming on, what do we do now? You know, they started taking the logs off, and the way the logs fell got right below the rib cage and crushed and fractured everything below. He was a mess. He was a mess. And after 9 months of putting him slowly back together, he walked out with crutches. He would never be the same, but he was alive. That's what Jesus is saying. The one who falls from such a high point either perishes completely or is wrecked and deformed. Impossible for him to recover his original state of health, of beauty, of stature. He shall remain as a poor crippled, blind, bent over, and lame. And if he has a father, this is now talking about Adam, from him shall come the generation of the crippled, the generation of the blind, the generation of the hunchback, the generation of the lame. In the same way, Jesus says, in this supernatural order, Adam fell from such an extremely high point. He had been placed by his creator at the point so high as to surpass the heights of the heavens, of the stars, of the sun. It was the Son of God. God breathed into Adam. And what came out of the earth was the image and likeness of God. By living in my divine will, Adam dwelled above everything, Jesus said, in God himself. Do you see then from what point Adam fell? Given the height from which he fell, it was a miracle that he did not perish completely. But even though he did not perish, the blow he received with the fall was so violent that it was inevitable for him to remain crippled, wrecked, and deformed of his rare beauty. He remained shattered in all his works, numb in operating, dazed at his intellect, a continuous fever debilitating him, such as it weakened all of his virtues. He no longer felt the divine strength to dominate him. The most beautiful character of Adam, the dominion of himself, was gone. While the passions took over to tyrannize him and to render him restless and melancholy. Since he says he was father, and since Adam was the head of the human generations, from him came the family of the crippled. That's us. Jesus has redeemed us, but we are still crippled. This body has to die. Jesus has a glorified body. Mary has a glorified body. Two glorified bodies out of all of humanity. The kingdom's coming. And where we say on August 15th, where Our Lady has gone, we hope to follow. So it says, humanity thinks that it is nothing to do the will of God. It is something trivial. Instead, by not doing the will of God, it is total ruin of the creature. And as many more acts that the human will does, so many times does she increase her evils. She increases her ruin. She digs for herself the most profound abyss in which to fall. Jesus has redeemed us. And Jesus says, now I'm going to sanctify you. What's this sanctification? It's the final battle between good and evil. The final battle between the tares and the wheat. The final battle between the goats and the sheep, the final battle between night and darkness, the final day, the final battle where between the Lord God Almighty and the devil. God wins. And the evil one is so filled with pride, he thinks he's going to win. No, this is the time for defeat. The kingdom is coming. We've been praying for 2,000 years. The kingdom is coming. Louisa says, then I was thinking to myself, if by withdrawing from the divine will once, Adam fell so low and turned his fortune into misery, his happiness into bitterness, what shall happen to us who withdraw from this adorable will of God times upon times? We go to confession each week. Why? We turn from living in the divine will to live in our human misery. My daughter, Jesus says, Adam fell so low because he withdrew from an expressed will of his God that enclosed at least the test in order to prove his faithfulness toward God who had given him life and all the good that God wanted him to possess. More so, since after so many goods, God had given Adam to him, he gave it to him for free. God asked of Adam to deprive himself of one fruit alone, of many of the fruits that God had given him. For love of God, who had given him everything, he says, would you be willing to pass a test not to give life to the one thing that I ask you not to do? Deprive yourself of one fruit alone. And in this little sacrifice that God wanted from Adam, God had let him know that it was for nothing else but to be sure of Adam's love, of Adam's faithfulness. See, Adam fell because of disobedience. Adam fell because of unfaithfulness. So God gives us his holy church. Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. Mary comes to the new Eve to bring what? The universal life back to humanity. The one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And what Jesus asks is that we be faithful and obedient. To prove it. Jesus says, he wanted to be sure of his faithfulness, of his obedience. So Adam should have felt honored that his creator wanted to be sure of the love that God had breathed into him. His fault was greater because the one who attracted him, the one who convinced him to fall, was not a being superior to him, but a vile serpent, his major enemy. Adam's fall brought graver consequences because Adam was the head of all human generations, and therefore, as though naturally, all the members were to feel the effects of the evil of their head. See then, when my divine will is expressed, wanted, and commanded, the sin is graver, and the consequences are irreparable. Only my divine will itself can make up for such great evil, as it happened with Adam. So Jesus himself had to come to earth to do this as the new Adam. He says, on the other hand, when it is not expressed, even though the creature has the duty to pray to me in order to know my will in her operating, there is some good in her act. It is my pure glory. While if my divine will is not expressed, the evil is not so grave, and it is easier to find a remedy. So Jesus says, when Adam went against the divine will, it was awful. And so there was no way back except if Jesus came to earth to die for us. There was no way back unless Mary came to earth to die with Jesus, basically. Why? To get that new body, the new and glorious body that God is going to give to all of humanity. And Jesus says, I do this with each soul in order to test their faithfulness and also to secure the love that they say they have for me. Who would not want to be sure about a property that he had acquired to the point that they write the deed? Who would not want to be sure about the faithfulness of a friend or about the true loyalty of a servant? So in order to be sure, I, God, let them know what I, God, want. Summon little sacrifices that shall bring all goods and all sanctity back to humanity, that they will fulfill the purpose for which they were created. But if they are reluctant, everything will be upset in them. All evils will swoop down upon them. Therefore, not doing my divine will is always an evil, more or less grave, depending on the knowledge of it that one possesses. So Jesus is saying to us very, very clearly, you have to understand that not doing the divine will is evil. And what God is asking of us, he's asking us to begin to live in the divine will. This is the thing that's required of us. It really is required. So Jesus says now, this is the next point. The first point was everything that God gave to Adam, we saw in the great saints of the Old Testament. And every 2,000 years, Jesus says, I renew the face of the earth. So from Adam to when Adam's fall until 2,000 years later, the flood happened. God renewed the face of the earth. What happened? Jesus said it will happen like in the time of Noah. What happened then? The sons of God saw the daughters of Adam as beautiful and had children with the daughters of Adam. And this angered God. The DNA of the humans were changed. What are they trying to do now with the mRNA? Same thing, changing our DNA. See, every 2,000 years, Jesus renews the face of the earth. So the first time the earth was renewed when the flood came, God washed the world clean. So he says, my beloved daughter, I want to make known to you the order of my divine providence. This is volume 12, 1, 29, 19, 19. Every course of 2,000 years, I have renewed the world. In the first 2,000 years, I renewed it with the flood. And then 2,000 years later, Jesus was born. And he renewed the world by shedding his blood, washing the world clean. So he says, in the second 2,000 years, I renewed the world with my coming upon earth, which I manifested my holy humanity, from which as though many fissures of my divinity shone forth, the good and the very saints of the following 2,000 years have lived the fruits of my most holy holy divinity only in drops. That fullness is not here. You got great saints who learned how to do the will of God. Jesus says, now I want you not only to do the will of God, I want you to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to begin to live this abundant life so that you can receive the divine inheritance of the Father. So he says, they only enjoyed the fruits of my holy humanity in drops. They have enjoyed my divinity. Now we are at the turn of the third 2,000 years, and there will be a third renewal. And this is the reason for the general confusion, the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the earthquakes. It's here, and it's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus is going to purify the world with fire. It's the fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's going to renew the world in the fire of God's divine love. And for those that love Jesus and Mary, those that love God, it will be ecstasy. For those who do not love God, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth. So Jesus says very clearly, this is the reason for the general confusion. It is nothing other than the preparation for the third renewal. And if the second renewal, I manifested what my holy divinity did and suffered very little of what my divinity, how my divinity was operating was shown. Now, in this third renewal, after the earth has been purged, this is his warning, and the current generation destroyed for the most part, I, God, shall be even more generous with souls. I shall accomplish the third renewal by manifesting what my divinity did within my holy humanity, how my divine will acted with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, Jesus, and my mother, how I, Jesus, did and redid everything. And even one thought of the creature was redone by me and sealed with my divine volition. My love wants its outpouring. My divine will wants to make known the excesses of what my divinity operated, how my divinity operated and in my holy humanity for the good of all of humanity. So what's he doing? He's showing us now what the saints wanted. The saints gave up everything. They mortified themselves. They prayed, they fasted, they did penance. They converted. They said, I want this life. And they went the way of the Lord. Prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. Now Jesus says, now I'm going to show you the interior life of Jesus, which has never been shown to the saints. The saints knew how to do the will of God, learned through prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, how to do the will of God. Now Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to live in the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. My love wants its outpouring. My love wants to make known the excesses that my divinity operated in my holy humanity for the good of humanity that surpasses by far the excesses that my holy humanity operated externally. Jesus predestined us to be alive at this time. He predestined us to be alive at this time. So he says in volume 19, 615, 1926, my daughter, the triumph of my divine will is connected with creation and with redemption. It can be called one single triumph, creation and redemption. Okay. This is why after 2000 years more, we have chosen another virgin, Liu Louisa, as the triumph of fulfillment of our divine will. The Lord had to find a human that could take the place of Adam. Adam wasn't the son of God. Adam wasn't the mother of God. So Jesus says, I needed to look up for all throughout all of humanity for a soul that wants to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And he says, this is why after 2000 years more, we have chosen another virgin as the triumph of the fulfillment of our divine will, forming its kingdom in your soul, Louisa, and making itself known with its knowledge. This is the book of heaven, that my divine will has given you its hand to raise you, Louisa, to the living in the unity of the light, so that you, Louisa, may form your life in the divine will, and the divine will may form its life in you. And having formed its dominion in you, Louisa, it will form the connection to which communicates its dominion to all humanity who wants this. So what Jesus is showing is, I've got my newborn. I've got my firstborn. And now through you, Louisa, as everything was supposed to happen through Adam and it failed, now the new Adam and the new Eve came. Now you, Louisa, can begin this. And he says to Louisa, Louisa, you're not going to fail. And Louisa would say to Jesus and Mary, how can I not fail? Adam failed. He had everything. Jesus said, yes, but he didn't have me as his Adam and Mary as his Eve, who passed the test. He says, Louisa, you cannot fail. This is what we possess. This is why, like today, somehow today on May 13th, we should honor Our Lady. This was the new era that began with the sun in the sky, symbolizing the divine will coming upon earth. She did this 106 years ago. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. Volume 26, 7, 18, 19, 29. My daughter, I am. I love it when Jesus uses his name. I am working in your soul. And that's what he's doing with us. God is working in our soul. And yeah, we're not perfect. We go to confession each week. Why? The perfection isn't here yet. That great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the second Pentecost, hasn't happened yet. He says, I'm working in your soul continuously. And while working, I am finalizing everything. That second Pentecost is close. Receiving the divine inheritance of the Father is close. So that nothing may be missing, solidifying and to give to my work the divine stability, the divine immutability, the waiting with invincible patience for my work to become known. That's what we're doing. We're saying to Jesus, you've given Louisa the book of heaven. From heaven is the book of life. How to get into this book of life, Jesus says, is the book of heaven that I give to earth. That stability, the immutability, the waiting with invincible patience is coming to an end because it's becoming known how to do this by reading, by studying, by putting this into practice so that all may know my great love. All may begin to live this new and divine way of holiness, which is Catholic. My great sacrifice and yours, Louisa, and the great work that if they want to, all can receive. Everybody can have this. This is This is the life that God breathed into Adam. This is what Jesus and Mary are breathing into Louisa. And he says, Louisa, you were the first linked to the new Adam and the new Eve, and everyone else will link themselves to you to learn how to live this life. So God has given us the way and the how through with the book of heaven. This is Jesus says, what this is about is that this work of mine, Jesus says, is the renewal of the whole creation. It is the centralization of all our divine works. This is what Jesus is showing us. It is to establish my divine will in the midst of creatures. It is operating and dominating in their midst. I love what Jesus does. He shows us the domination. You know, when we think of the voting, we were dominated. When we look at these operating and dominating of God, God is working in our midst. And then he says, whoever shall know this, my work shall be a kingdom of mine. And therefore, I, God, shall have as many kingdoms for as many as are the ones who shall know what I have done, what I have said in the littleness of your soul, Louisa. See, we're going to learn, how do you become Franciscans? You learn from St. Francis. How do you become Benedictines? You learn from St. Benedict. How do you become Dominicans? You learn from St. Dominic. How do you begin to live in the divine will? You learn from Louisa. He says, basically, therefore, I shall have many kingdoms for as many as are the ones who shall know what I, God, have done and said in the littleness of your soul, Louisa, and fuse together. See, this oneness that's coming between God and man that was there from the beginning shall form one single kingdom. It's a new beginning for all of humanity. It really is. The new era. This is the next part. The kingdom, thy kingdom come. Volume 12, 2, 8, 19, 21. O iniquitous world, you are doing everything you can to cast me away from the face of the earth, to banish me from society, to banish me from schools, to banish me from our conversations and from everything. Sound familiar? In 1960, they threw out God from the schools. Where are the schools now? What are they introducing to the schools now? God doesn't seem to be there. They are plotting how to demolish the temples and the altars, how to destroy my holy church, how to kill my priests, my ministers, while I am preparing for you, all of humanity, an era of love, the era of my third fiat. You shall make your own way in order to banish me, and I shall confuse you by means of love. I shall follow you from behind, and I shall come toward you from the front so as to confuse you in love. And wherever you have banished me, I, God, shall raise my throne, and there I shall reign more than ever before, but in a more astonishing way. So much so that you yourself shall fall at the foot of my throne as though bound by the power of my love. Everything's going to change. We're at that point where everything's going to change. Pray. Read the book of heaven. Jesus is going to teach you. He's going to teach you what he has planned. All that he needs us to do is to cooperate. So we'll end and we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.